This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by the Zona Plus, an effective non-drug treatment for high blood pressure. I use it with my patients at the Hoffman Center all the time. As a listener to Intelligent Medicine, the company is offering you special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to TryZonaNow.com or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention Dr. Hoffman to get your $50 savings and free shipping. That's 1-866-669-9662 or tryzonanow.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today's clinical focus is on stem cells. You know, stem cell technology is taking huge leaps forward. There's a tremendous amount of research underway, and it's really quite promising. And it's really going to be the future of medicine. This type of medicine is called regenerative medicine, where literally we'll be able to develop spare parts. There's possibility of regrowing organs on scaffolding, taking people's own cells and having them grow into ears, noses, even livers, hearts, and ultimately, although this is perhaps the ultimate challenge, brains. And so this is a science that's really proceeding apace, but amidst the hope, there's also lots of controversy, because recently, we'll give you an idea, there was an article in the New York Times, stem cells are still mostly theory, yet clinics are flourishing. And this article was published in the wake of a recent paper that's actually written by stem cell experts that deplores the commercialization of what they call untested stem cell treatments for just about every medical use imaginable. So, you know, you can be tooling down the highway, listening to the radio, and a radio program will come on where a doctor may be touting the use of stem cells to callers who call with all kinds of god-awful maladies, ranging from strokes to heart problems to, you know, just virtually anything. And let's say that stem cells can offer a potential for hope. And surely, you know, there's a basis for believing that, because stem cells are what are called pluripotent, which means that they are very, very undifferentiated cells. They are sort of like the progenitors of normal cells, which differentiate and specialize into each cell type. So a cell that's a stem cell or a pluripotent cell can be theoretically injected into a site in the body, and then it will travel to wherever it's supposed to do some repair work, and there grow into a new liver, or potentially a new, functioning pancreas in the case of insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus. And this has actually been kind of the holy grail of medical research for a long time, which is to try and find ways of repairing aging and dysfunctional organs. And so, it's not something brand new. This is actually something that's been contemplated for decades and decades. There's this type of cell in the pancreas called the islets of Langerhans. And these are the sites which manufacture insulin. And so in insulin-dependent diabetes, which is quite different from type 2 diabetes, where you have the opposite. You have too much insulin and insulin resistance. In insulin-dependent diabetes, you have a final decline and destruction of the function of these islets of Langerhans, thus resulting in reduced or completely absent insulin production, and therefore you have to take outside insulin shots. So the goal of researchers for a long time has been to introduce cells that regenerate the pancreas in insulin-dependent diabetes. Wouldn't that be cool? You'd just be able to inject cells into a vein, or maybe inject cells directly into the pancreas, and these cells would take root and grow into normally functioning islet of Langerhans cells. Unfortunately, that doesn't work that easily. And researchers are just to the point where they're introducing little packets of cells in animals, which seem to function somewhat like normal pancreatic cells. They say that research in humans to achieve this goal may be certainly years off, perhaps decades off, before the testing is completed and the safety has been validated. So it's a field, though, that while it has a lot of appeals, there's some real concerns. And so, for example, you'll see claims by chains of clinics offering stem cell treatments for almost any disease you can think of, sports injuries, arthritis, even autism, cerebral palsy, stroke, muscular dystrophy, ALS, even cancer. And an orthopedic clinic, for example, says on its website, stem cells actually restore degenerated tissue while providing pain relief. Another clinic seeks patients with neurological disease. I'm reading here from the New York Times article asserting, quote, the regenerative nature of the fatty adult stem cells that are extracted from the patient can help improve the degeneration and ease the symptoms associated with the disease. So what has facilitated this is the buzz around stem cells, which is legitimate. It's coming from the frontiers of science. There's certainly great promise there. But also the fact that they can be readily extracted. So any doctor with a syringe and a local anesthetic can extract stem cells from the plentiful fat that you have around your abdomen. These are called adipose stem cells, and spin them down in a centrifuge in the office and then re-inject them into a vein. And that's a form of stem cell therapy. And the hope is that, say in a neurodegenerative disease, that's going to help. It'll travel to the brain. These cells will take root and they'll help with repair. Alternatively, it's thought that bone marrow extracted cells may be even more, efficient. And so, you punch a hole in the sternum, in the breastbone, stick a large bore needle in there, hopefully with some anesthetic because that can, can feel the pinch, and then extract, some marrow cells and then, send them on their merry way into a joint or into the bloodstream to effect repair. And so this is just but one of the types of stem cells that can be administered. When we talk about brain, there are stem cells that are what are called neurally derived stem cells. And we have to distinguish between stem cells that are derived from embryos. That's a very controversial area because it's, some people think that we're killing fetus, we're aborting fetuses in order to fuel a stem cell industry that has a lot of people upset. But actually, it's been determined that adult stem cells can obviate the need to harvest fetal stem cells because of the ways in which they can be tweaked. You see, it's not enough to just take these raw stem cells out of the fat or out of the bone and shoot them into wherever they need to be shot. They have to be potentiated. They have to be guided with some sort of tweak and some sort of biological treatment to make them recognize that they need to grow into whatever cell type you're interested in repairing. So this is, a really, really controversial field. I mean, there are even some clinics that are offering anti-aging and cosmetic treatments, so-called stem cell facelifts, stem cell breast augmentation, as well as sexual enhancement procedures. Well, it's hard to imagine what that might be, but actually, penile enlargement and so-called vaginal rejuvenation, sort of a tightening and toning procedure, has been offered by some clinics. One notable clinic in Beverly Hills, California, fashionable Hollywood, you know, with sort of the rich and famous flock to these clinics in an effort to reinvigorate their sexual vigor and performance. So, you know, while conceptually it may make sense, it's kind of difficult to do. So one of the things that has actually taken place with some degree of success, although, you know, the word is not out on whether this is going to be a breakthrough cure, is in Parkinson's disease. They're actually taking stem cells and injecting them directly into the brain. But that's not something that, you know, some of these clinics are able to do. You have to do this under very, very careful guidance, you know, usually with, you know, some sort of imaging to see where you're going in the brain, and an experienced neurosurgeon has to administer it. So this trend towards commercialization of stem cells has been deplored. In a recent article that made a big splash, and that resulted in the Times article, but the original article is actually by stem cells researchers, and it's entitled "Selling Stem Cells in the USA, Assessing the Direct-to-Consumer Industry." And they really deplore the proliferation of these private stem cell clinics in the U.S., stating that in the past, you had to go far afield to get these stem cells. It used to be that you had to go to Mexico or China, South America, the Caribbean, India, I believe, has a bit of a brisk trade in stem cell tourism, they call it, where people with god-awful conditions, conditions that just don't respond to conventional therapy, they're desperate. They're willing sometimes to spend their entire personal savings for treatments that can cost well into the high five digits on, you know, on spec, on the possibility that this may offer some degree of hope. And to a layperson, it does sound logical that these are rejuvenative cells that can rise to the occasion and begin to proliferate and fill in the gaps where organs are failing. So the authors of the paper that pushes back against this, I'll now quote, they say that now that these practices are widely available in the U.S., it's even worse because they're more readily available and they are, quote, exposing their clients to non-compliant stem cell interventions. When they say non-compliant, that means that they're kind of, you know, some strict research protocols about, you know, how to do it. It's an exciting field, but, you know, there's some discipline being applied to how the cells are harvested, how they're prepared, for what conditions they are tailored, rather than this sort of free fire zone, which is, okay, well, you know, we'll just shoot you up with some stem cells and they'll probably do some good. They're exposing their clients to non-compliant stem cell interventions, and that these, quote, prompt ethical concerns about the safety and efficacy of marketed interventions, accuracy in advertising, the quality of informed consent, and the exposure of vulnerable individuals to unjustified risks. Now, you might say, hey, what's the big deal here? Because these people are desperate anyway. And they realize, that, you know, maybe there's just a glimmer of hope that their condition could get better. So what's wrong with offering them, this therapy, which may be the therapy of the future, you know, offering it, in 2016, when, you know, ultimately it may become the therapy of choice by 2030, you know, get a little ahead of the curve and take advantage of this amazing technology. You know, you pays your money and you takes your chances, right? What's the problem with offering patients a little bit of choice? Well, there are some problems, and problems do arise. And one article recently in the New England Journal of Medicine highlights some of these dangers. It's entitled Glioproliferative Lesion of the Spinal Cord as a Complication of Stem Cell Tourism. In this account in the New England Journal of Medicine, a 66-year-old man who'd experienced some strokes and had some degree of paralysis traveled to China, Argentina, and Mexico on consecutive trips to obtain stem cell injections directly into his spine to overcome residual paralysis after a stroke. He then developed back pain. He started to have trouble walking and then completely lost whatever ability he had left to walk. And he was unable to control his bladder. Now, when you're unable to control your bladder, that's often a sign of a spinal tumor pressing on the spinal nerves that control urination. And so he went to a U.S. hospital, and lo and behold, an MRI revealed a large tumor in his spinal cord, which the pathologist had a heck of a time identifying what it was, because it was such a mixed type of cells that they had virtually never seen before. So, you know, the question is, you know, he had gone to so many different places and had so many different procedures that it's unclear whence the tumor originated. Was this, you know, were these embryonic stem cells? Were these stem cells harvested from him? Were these stem cells neurally derived stem cells from, say, the spines of perhaps even cadavers? We don't even know. But the point being is that, okay, we want these cells to grow and take hold in the new host and affect repair. But how do we know that the cells will grow properly? They may grow chaotically into cancers. And indeed, it turns out that when we look at cancer biology, there's something about stem cells that is not good, because cancer stem cells are what's left over after more vulnerable cancer cells are targeted by chemotherapy and radiation. This is actually one of the theories now why cancer comes back after conventional treatments, is there's always a few cells left that are so primitive that they're not touched by chemotherapy or radiation, and that these what are called CSCs, cancer stem cells, are the residual cells that come back with a vengeance and then become virtually untreatable by any means that we have at our disposal. So, you know, I'm not saying that the cancer stem cells are the same as stem cells that are designed to treat diseases. But this, by analogy, you have to be careful that the stem cells that you introduce grow into organized cells, tissues, and organs rather than into chaotic tumors. So in another case, a patient had stem cells directly injected into his kidneys as a treatment for lupus. You know, lupus can cause kidney failure. And so in hopes of avoiding dialysis, perhaps he went to Russia. Actually, I'm not sure this was done in Russia, but it was done in a foreign country. He developed an unusual tumor of the kidneys. In Russia, another patient developed a brain tumor after injections of neurally derived stem cells into his cerebellum, which is the balance center of the brain. The patient had ataxia or a balance problem. So, you know, kind of a, under some kind of loose protocol, which allowed, you know, a lot of these other countries, you know, God bless them, they allow more heroic medical interventions. You could, on the plus side, you could say that there's less bureaucracy, there are less constraints, they don't have as powerful an FDA, and you know, but also to some extent, some of these other countries are free fire zones that are poor countries that are governed by a profit motive. They say, come hither and we'll treat you. We can treat you here before you get treatment approval in the United States. In Russia, this patient developed a brain tumor after injections of neurally derived stem cells directly into his cerebellum, which is part of the brain. That's not a procedure that you're going to get, you know, in a local office here, stateside. So, you know, while these may represent instances of poorly regulated administration of stem cells that don't conform to strict safety protocols, they still underscore the potential risk of introducing cells that have the ability to multiply unpredictably. Okay, so our listeners know that we divide these podcasts into two parts. Let's talk a little bit more about stem cells, what they can do, and what are some potential cautions when we return. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.